Today's Shir Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chof Hey. We will begin on Daf Kuf Chof Dalet Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara Amar Yehuda Mishmul, Mgufas Chavis Shenichnasa, the lid of a cask that broke, the loch is Mutal Tatl B'Shabbos, may be moved on Shabbos. And Tanya Nami Hochi quotes the Gemara Braisa, Tanya Nami Hochi, Mgufas Shenichnasa, the lid of a cask that broke, he ushvireha, the lid and the broken pieces, mutal tatl b'Shabbos, may all be moved on Shabbos. However, says the Braisa, lo yisbois b'mena shever, one shouldn't repair one of those broken pieces, he shouldn't cut it, make it into a proper shape, l'chasas b'as a kli, in order to have the proper size to use as a cover of a vessel, Lismach b'karimita, or you want to use it to support the legs of a bed. Then Zarka b'ashpa, continues the Gemara, and if somebody threw it into the garbage, then usur, it becomes usur, because by throwing it away, you're showing that it's muksa. Maslara papa, asked the Gemara, is that true? That just because you threw it away, that makes it into muksa? So does that mean, ask Rapapa, Zorkle Liglime, if you're going to throw your garment, a good garment, into the trash, Hachinami Dasar, that'll become Muksa, just because you threw into the grash, into trash? And of course, the Ritva asked the obvious question. How can we compare, asked the Ritva, the two situations? In the case where we're talking about a good garment, so of course, just by throwing out the garment, doesn't mean that it's not a garment anymore. But on the other hand, if we're talking here about a broken cover of a vessel, so it starts off at a weaker place. So what's the comparison? So says the Ritva, what Rapapa means to say is entirely different. Rapapa says like this, certainly if somebody were to throw a good garment into the trash heap, there would be no one that would consider that relevant lahalocha. Because as long as the garment is a good garment, the halocha is that it should be considered a garment and it doesn't get lose that by throwing it away. Says the Gemara, that is what our attitude should be to this. Since it's usable, and before Shabbos, it was still already usable. The fact that it's now thrown into the trash should not make that it should not be that it should be considered muksa. Elam Rapapa. Therefore, Rapapa has a different understanding. If you threw it into the trash heap before Shabbos, so that by throwing it there before Shabbos, you're showing that it's not a keli to you, then indeed, it will be muksa. But, very important point that we've made many times in our shiurim, is that when we speak about muksa, the defining moment of muksa is bein hashmashos. Migad is katsoil bein hashmashos, is katsoil l'kula yoyma. So as long as it was not muksa when Shabbos began, the halacha is that it's not going to be muksa on the Shabbos if it still has a use. But of course, Tosfos makes an important point. What would be the halacha if you threw your garment into the garbage, a good garment into the garbage before Shabbos? It won't be muksa, because as we spoke a moment ago, a good garment, just because you put it into the garbage, doesn't become muksa. So Tosfos, the very maskil im, explains there's a fundamental difference between a garment and a broken piece of a cover of a vessel. A garment is inherently muchen. The point when we speak about hichs muksa is everything that we want to be able to use on Shabbos has to be muchen, has to be prepared before Shabbos. A garment is inherently prepared before Shabbos. And since a garment is inherently prepared before Shabbos, even if you put it into the garbage, batla data, eitzakaladam, what you did is meaningless. Here, however, we're referring to a situation where we're talking about a broken shard. So it isn't inherently muchen. And since it's not inherently muchen, it's only going to become muchen if you make it prepared. But if you throw it out, you're showing that to you this is muksa, that you have no use for this on Shabbos. And therefore here, the Gemara obviously would differentiate between a garment and a good garment and this broken shard. Amar bar Amduri Amar Shmuel, krumis shemachtzelis, pieces of reed that became detached from a mat, mutl tatl b'Shabbos, they're not considered muksa. Explains the Gemara, my tama, Amar Rava, Baram Duri Asberli, Baram Duri himself explained to me the basis for this halacha. Machzelis gufel amai chazia. What is the reason people use a machzelis? L'chsuya be'afra, to use it for covering dust with it. Hachinami, here, even when you have these pieces, these leftover pieces of the reeds, they still have the original same purpose. L'chsuya be'tenofis, they can be used to cover dirt. And since they can be used to cover dirt, they're not muksa. So the Rif explains that we aren't to understand the Gemara that's only because they're usable for the same purpose as this mat was originally designated. That's why they're not muksa. He says, as long as they have a purpose, then the halach is that they're considered a keli and they're not muksa. The Rajba, and according to our understanding of the Rif, that means even if they would have gotten detached on Erev Shabbos, they still would not be muksa. The Rajba, however, explains that the Gemara is referring specifically to a situation where they got detached on Shabbos. Because during the week, he says, anybody who has these leftover shreds would just throw them in the garbage. Here we have a special new heter, that since when Shabbos began, they were part of the mat. And since they were part of the mat, they're not muksa. Therefore, and also, as Baram Duri just said, they serve the same purpose as the mat served to cover dirt. So when you have these two factors to take into consideration, the halacha is that it's not muksa. Says the Rajba himself, we will discuss the machloikis of the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda. Where the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan is that it just has to be usable. And Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, it's not enough that it has to be usable. It has to be usable ke'ein melachtin rishayna, the same as their original use. So according to this understanding of the Gemara, asked the Rajba, it seems that we're following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And we know that we follow the opinion of the Rabbanan, that as long as it's usable, even though it's not usable as the same original use, it's not muksa. Says the Rajba, when we're dealing with something so insignificant like the shreds of a mat, everybody will agree that in order for it to have some chashivas, for it to have some significance, it has to be usable for its original use. The Ritva, along the same line, says that really something that's just used to cover dirt doesn't make that object into a keli. Because covering dirt in itself is not considered something special, something significant. And therefore, only because these shreds were attached to the mat, which the mat is a keli, and they still serve the same purpose as the mat, so because you have all of those factors to take into consideration, then and only then could those shreds not be considered muksa. But in the absence of all of those conditions, says the Ritva, we can't say that shreds of a mat should not be considered muksa. Amrav Zera Amrav, Shiori Primzmurius, the leftover of a talus, Oslo Tafel B'Shabbos, may not be moved on Shabbos. Amar Baya, says Abaya, Matonish Embem Sholos Sholos. What are we referring to here? Patches that are less than 3 etzpos by 3 etzpos. Blachazian, that are insignificant, loyla niyim v'loyla shirim. Nobody really has a use from these small patches, and therefore they're considered muksa. So the Rishonim ask, we just said a moment ago that something that could be used to cover dirt has significance. So here too, They could be these small pieces, even if they're less than 3 etzpos by 3 etzpos, should be usable to cover dirt. And therefore, why are they muksa? So the Ravid explains that our Gemara here is speaking about patches, pieces of material that fell off of a talis shemitzvah. A talis shemitzvah cannot be, the leftovers of a talis shemitzvah cannot be used to cover dirt. And therefore, they can only be used for something that isn't a bezoyin, that isn't degrading the mitzvah. So they can be used for a patch. But the minimum size of something that can be used for a patch is shalosh etzpos or shalosh etzpos. In fact, says the Ravid, if these were pieces of material that fell off of something which wasn't a talis shemitzvah, then the Gemara would not require that they be shalosh etzpos or shalosh etzpos to not be considered muksa. The Ritva takes a different approach. He says that these pieces of material were part of a talis. The talis, even if it's not a talis shel mitzvah, is used for something significant. So when something falls off such a material, it's normally thrown into the garbage, unless it's 3 etzpos or 3 etzpos. Tana Rabbanan, Shivrei Tana Yoshin, the broken pieces of an old oven, Harei Kikola and Kelim HaNitolim B'Chatzar, are considered like all other Kelim in the Chatzar, which we know, the Ramea says, they're not Muksa. Reb Yehuda Omer, Reb Yehuda Hefer says, Ein Nitolim, they may not be moved. Says the Gemara, Hey Reb Yosef Mishim Reb Loza Ben Yaakov, a Shivrei Tana Yoshin, there were broken pieces of an old oven, Shenitolim B'Shabbos, they were taken on Shabbos, V'Kesuyov, and regarding the cover of that oven, Shein Tzarech Beis Yad, we're going to discuss Amitz Hashem. The Mishnah in tomorrow's shir discusses the Beis Yad, that sometimes the cover of a keli, in order to be allowed to be moved on Shabbos, has to have a handle. Says the Gemara, Mifki, how do we understand this machlokes? Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, but oisim ein malach ve'ein oisim ein malach din kamifki. The machlokes is the machlokes that we just quoted a minute ago. When you have something that broke on Shabbos, does it have to be usable to not be considered muksa, or does it have to be usable in the way it was originally used? V'az Rabbi Yehuda l'tameh. Rabbi Yehuda is following his opinion that it says that it has to be usable for its original use, and this is not usable for its original use, and therefore it becomes muksa. Ramei l'tamei, Ramei says as long as it's usable, it's good enough. Maskul of Rava, Ihochi, if that's how we're arguing, if that's what this machloikus is all about, ask the Gemara Adam Ifugi, instead of discussing a situation of Shivrei Tanur, where your oven broke, Lifku, then the machloikus is, why is it limited to the case of a broken oven? Lifku, b'shivri kelim b'alma, any broken vessel, we have the machloikus of Rabbi Yehuda and Rameya. What point is it still, does it become muksa? At what point is it not yet muksa? Ella Marava, says Rava, b'shivri the high tanukimuski. The machloikus here is speaking about a specific type of an oven. The Tanan, the Mishnah, in Masechta Kelim, Perek Hei Mishtavav discusses about the Kabbalah's Tumah, the susceptibility of Tumah of different types of Tanurim, different types of furnaces. As Rashi explains, the Tanurim in the time of the Mishnah look like a pot that doesn't have a bottom. They put it on the earth. They put clay around it to insulate it. And that was their oven. So says the Mishnah, Nosna api abor api ados, if the oven, this pot, was put on top of a pit or on top of a cistern, v'nosna sham even, and somebody put over there a stone. The purpose of the stone was to wedge the oven that it should fit perfectly into the hole. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, imasik milmata v'nisik mimala, if when you have a fire in the bor below this pot and it causes that the food in the pot gets warm and you don't have to, and therefore you have a real full-fledged oven, and the heat of the fire is able to go into what's in this pot, and it doesn't escape on the sides of the pot. On the contrary, the sides of the pot are what keep the heat inside. Then tamei, then it's considered a full-fledged keli, and it's makabel tuma. However, vimlav, if it doesn't have that ability, that means if the heat were below the pot, the heat will escape from the sides of the pot. And if it's going to escape from the sides of the pot, it won't cook what's in the pot. Then it's not considered an oven, and it's tahor. The Chum disagree. And they say, Hoil v'husak, since this oven was used previously, become makom tamei, it's always considered an oven and will be susceptible to tuma. Says the Gemara, b'maikum mifki, what is the basis of the machloikis in that Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim? Says the Gemara, they're arguing over haikra. They're arguing over how to understand this pasuk. The pasuk says, Tanu v'kraim yutatz, temeim heim, temeim yulachem. In those days, ovens were made out of cheres, were made out of earthenware. And as we've discussed previously, an earthenware keli that becomes tamei, the only way it can become tar is yutatz, by breaking it, teaches us the pasuk that these a tan and a karayim can become tamei. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that the Torah uses the word yutatz. It doesn't use the word yishover. Yutatz, explains Rabbi Yehuda, is mechusan titza tamei, something which is connected to the ground, where the word nutatz, where yetitza is appropriate, is makabel tuma. Shem mechutzen etum titza, but something that isn't attached to the ground, and therefore breaking it is not considered in the titza, is tahar. Because the titza is only passable by something which is mechubel karka. Ask the Chazon Ish, why does it have to be mechubel karka to be makabel tuma? Any keli is makabel tuma. So the Chazon Ish says that's what the Torah is trying to teach us, that an oven is unique, and an oven is only considered a keli according to Rabbi Yehuda when it's connected to the ground. The Ritva has a different approach. He says, really, a tanner should not be considered a keli. Because as we explained at the beginning of this sugya, to be considered a keli, it doesn't have a bottom. It was like a bottomless pot. A bottomless pot is not a pot, and it's not a keli. So the only reason it's being considered a keli is because it's being used as a tanner. Teaches us a Yehuda that in order for it to be considered a tanner, only is it possible to be considered a tanur when it's yutatz, it's connected to the ground and requires netitza. Ask the Gemara. So Yehuda makes a very compelling argument. Rabbanan Nami huksiv yutatz. What are the Rabbanan going to do with that word yutatz? Rabbi Yehuda is explaining. Answers the Gemara, Huda idach kisa. Rabbanan are coming to teach us another, that the halacha is coming to teach us something else. The sakadat chamina, we would perhaps think, kivin the chabri ba'ara, since it's attached to the ground, so therefore, kagufa the aradomi, it should be considered like something which is mechubal karka. And we know that anything which is mechubal karka is not mekabel tuma. Kamash malon, so therefore, the Torah is teaching us a new chiddush. The Torah is teaching us that even something which is not connected to the ground, that even though this is connected to the ground, it's mekabel tuma. Vidoch nami. So ask the Gemara, what Rabbi Yehuda do with the words Tameim Heim Lechem? Haksiv, doesn't the Torah say Tameim Lechem, that the Tamei under all circumstances? Answers the Gemara, who Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that pasuk is coming to teach us the Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul. Dam Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, Machloikis. The Machloikis Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is Behesek Rishon, is when the first time you use this oven. There Rabbi Yehuda says that in order for it to be considered an oven, the first time you use it is what makes it into an oven. And to make it into an oven the first time, it only is considered an oven when it was mechubal karka. Aval behesek sheni, once it has already become an oven, indeed, Rabbi Yehuda will agree, afilu tali b'tzav gomel, even if it's hanging around the neck of an animal, the halacha is that it's mekabel tuma. Once it became a keli, by it being in the ground and being used in the ground, then it's mekabel tuma, even when it's not mechubel karka. Om ula, uvehesek rishin, rabbonon, but the rabbonon disagree, and they hold that even the first time that's going to be used as an oven, it's not attached to the ground, it's still considered an oven, even when it's not attached to the ground, and it's mekabel tuma. So now, going back to where we began, so it turns out that they're not arguing about this machloikus is specifically about ovens. So now, when we go back to the machloikus that we mentioned earlier between Ramey and Rabbi Yehuda regarding pieces of broken oven on Shabbos, are they or are they not muksa? We're speaking here about an oven that was not mechubel karka, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if it's not mechubel karka, it's not mekabel tuma. And if it's not mekabel tuma, it's not a keli as far as kabbalah's tuma. It's also not going to be a keli as far as being allowed to move it on Shabbos. And therefore, if the tanner is not a keli, certainly the broken pieces of that tanner will not be a keli and will be also to be moved on Shabbos. The chachamim are a mayor who argue with Rabbi Yehuda, and they hold that a tanner, even if it's not connected to the ground, is still considered a keli. And therefore, if it's considered a keli, it could be moved on Shabbos. And not only could it be moved on Shabbos, but even the broken pieces may be moved on Shabbos, because as we're learning, the broken pieces of a keli don't become muksa. Ask the Gemara, Maskel Rav Ashi, if this is the way we're interpreting the machloikus between Ramey and Rabbi Yehuda about a broken tanner. Adam ifkli b'shiver tanner, what do they have to argue about the tanner that broke and discuss? Are these broken pieces muksa? Or are they not muksa? We could have a much more fundamental machlokes. Lifkli b'tanner gufa. They could argue about the tanner itself. Hashta, tanner gufa l'Rabbi Yehuda. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, a tanner that wasn't attached to the ground is not a tanner, it's not a keli, and therefore it's muksa. So hashta tana gufa l'Rabbi Yehuda lo have a mono shvarav miboye. So we should have learned the bigger chiddush that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the tanner, since it's not considered a keli as far as hilchas tuma, is not considered a keli as far as hilchas Shabbos is concerned. So the Ramban and Rashba asked the obvious question: why are we connecting hilchas tuma to hilchas Shabbos? Maybe as far as hilchas tuma is concerned, as we just learned, there's a gzeiras akosif that this is not considered a keli. But what does that have to do with hilchas Shabbos? So they answer, both the Ramban and the Rashba, they answer, what's the purpose of a tanner? The purpose of a tanner is to bake in. It's not used for any other purpose. And the Torah, by telling us the word yutatz, is not just telling us exeris akosif, that if it's not connected to the ground, it's not considered a tanner. The Torah is telling us a practical consideration, that as long as it's not connected to the ground, it can't serve the purpose of a tanner. Until it's connected to the ground, it's not considered a tanner. It's bechlal not considered a keli. And since it's not considered a keli, it won't be considered a keli for Shabbos as well. Others do, however, say that Hilchas Shabbos and Hilchas Tuma do travel together. And therefore, if it's the Gemara is teaching us that if it's not considered a keli to Hilchas Tuma, it's not considered keli hilchas Shabbos as well. And the Sfas Emes seems to learn that that's exactly the Gemara's question. If you're saying that hilchas Shabbos and hilchas Tuma travel together, so then the Gemara should have shown us that by having the machloikis by a tanner, not just by shivrei tanner. Why wasn't the machloikis cited by the tanner? Because obviously, hilchas Shabbos and hilchas Tuma don't travel together. Therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda, who will hold that this tanur is not considered a tanur as far as Hilchus Tumah is concerned, will hold it's a tanur as far as Hilchus Shabbos is concerned, and therefore we don't understand how to understand this, on this machlokes. Elamar Rav Ashi, lo'olam, the machlokes is like we said at the beginning, that the machlokes is k'damar me'akara, where it's usable, but not usable for its original purpose. Where we had Rabbi Yehuda and Rameya discussing, is that going to be muksa or not? But here we're referring to a situation, we could use these broken pieces of earthenware from the tanner to bake on. They used to take this broken piece of stone, of earthenware, put a fire under it, and put something on top of it, and bake on it. So they're arguing, and that's the machloikus, because it's not the regular way of baking, but it is baking. And what the way to understand the discussion is as follows, explains the Gemara. Rameya ledvar of Rabbi Yehuda kama. Rameya is addressing Rabbi Yehuda, and he's saying as follows. Lididi, according to my opinion, I feel bois me'ein malacha. As long as they're usable, they're not going to be muksa. And therefore, certainly the broken pieces of the tanner we could find some use for, and they will not be considered muksa. El didach, that you hold that a broken, something broken from a keli, only is not considered muksa if it has usable for its original purpose. That these pieces of earthenware are considered oisamei malachtam because they could be used similarly to the way it was used originally. You could bake on it the way we just described. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's not considered mei malachtam. Why? Hasam has sekum b'fnim. When you cook, you have the fire inside the pot, inside the tanner. Hacha, as we explained, hasekim v'chutz. You have the shard and you make a fire under it. And therefore, furthermore, hasam mu'umid, they used to put the bread, as we've discussed previously when we spoke about radius apas, they used to put the bread or whatever they baked stick to the wall in a vertical fashion. Hacha labam mu'umid. When you're baking on this shard, you put it flat, horizontally on the shard. So therefore, that can't be considered, says Rabbi Yehuda, me'ein melachtam. Says the Gemara, hey, Rabbi Yossi, Mishum Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, ashivrei tana yoshin, shenitolim b'Shabbos, that the broken pieces of a tanner may be moved on Shabbos, val kisuyov, she'en etzorach b'esyad, and on its cover, it doesn't need a handle. Says the Gemara, Amar Ravina Kamama Taltina Idna Kisu the Tana the Mas Machasya, according to whom do we move the furnaces of Mas Machasya, Dailan Beis Achiza, that don't have a handle to move them? Command Kishitas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Kirish Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, we're following the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And as I saw, Tosus explains that this is not only the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, we're going to learn in the Mishnah, in Mitzvah Shem, in Daf Kuch Chavav, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi as well. However, since we have a klal throughout Shas, the Mishnah's Rabbi Elazar, Kav V'Noki, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion are not cited that often in Shas, but V'Noki, when they are cited, they're great. So that's why the Gemara wanted to say that we're passing like Rabbi Elazar, that this is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because when we know it's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, we know it's the opinion to follow. Says the Mishnah, Ho'evin Shebikureah. They used to use a carved out pumpkin as a pail to draw water. But obviously, that is very light. And since it's very light, it's going to drown in the well. So they used to put a stone into it. So now the question is a muksa? Because the stone we discussed is muksa machmas kufay. Ho'evin Shebikureah. You have a stone in this carved out pumpkin, im malam bavein nefelos, if you could draw water out without the stone falling out, the stone is securely in this pumpkin, malam ba. So then it's not muksa and there's no problem. However, vimlav, if it's not usable, the stone is not really attached, so then Eimer Malamba. Of course, as we mentioned earlier, if it was securely not, it was not, if it was not Muksa as Shabbos began, even if it fell out on Shabbos, once it was a Muksa, Beinash Moshes, it's not going to be Muksa on Shabbos as well. So Mayra, Shikshura L'Tefiach. You have a vine, a branch from a grapevine that was tied to the pitcher to be able to use it to draw water from the well. Zmayr Shikshuba Tfirch, Mamal Bab Shabbos, by tying the branch to the pitcher, again, even though the branch itself may be Muksa, but by tying it to the pitcher, it becomes part of the pitcher and it's no longer Muksa. The Mishnah now goes on to discuss a different issue. We've been discussing Hilchas Muksa. Now the Mishnah speaks about binyan, building on Shabbos, and the halacha is that one is, of course, bina, as we learned on Daf Ayin Gimel, is one of the malachas on Shabbos, and in certain situations, Chazal made gzeiris that you're not allowed to make an oil arai, even a temporary oil, and sometimes you're not allowed to even add to an oil. So our Mishnah speaks about a pekak chaloin, a shutter that was used for the window. The question is it's not like our windows, you just open and close the window. They used to put this piece of wood into the opening that was your window. May you do so on Shabbos or not? Is that considered making a binyan? Rabbi Elazar Omer, Rabbi Elazar's opinion is, Bezman shu kosher v'toli. If it was attached to the window already, and not only attached, it's suspended above the floor, it's not dragging on the floor. When you put that into the hole, and that shows that's not called and you did a ma'aseh binyan. And poking your body, we could put it in. However, Bimlav, if you don't have these two conditions, that it's tied there and it's suspended from the ground, according to Belezer, ain't poking your body, you can't use it. The chum are more lenient, and the Gemara in Mitzvah will in tomorrow's shir discuss what exactly is the opinion. Bangkok or Bangkok, poking your body, we can use it to close the window. There is a machloikis, Rashi and Tosfos. What is the chaloin that we're speaking here? Rashi says that we're speaking about a roof. And he says that the issue here is about putting this on the roof, on the skylight. But it's not talking about a window. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says that not only is the Mishnah referring to where you have this pekak in the roof, but even where it's on the wall, sometimes making a mechitza, making a wall, is also asur. When does that mean? The best example is we know that the Gemara Masechta the Sukkah says in order for a sukkah to be kosher, has to have three walls. So let's say you have a sukkah that only has two walls, and you're going to make a third wall. You're going to hang up a curtain, or you're going to do something to make the third wall of a sukkah. So what you're doing is, you're making that sukkah into a sukkah. Without that wall, you would not have a kosher sukkah. Says Tosfos that is usur. And in fact, Tosfos says, a riotous pshat. He says that the word chaloin throughout Shas means a window. Skylight are called aruvos. The Chasam Sofer says, I bring a raya that chaloin could be used even for a skylight. He says that Shabbos morning, when we say the bracha, we say uvekeya chaloinei rakia. And there it clearly doesn't mean a window. It means uvekeya rakia means the sky. So says the Chasam Sofer, when Rashi says that chaloin means a skylight, we have a raya that could be. However, even though we're learning, Tosfos teaches us, and that's the halacha, that we may not make a mechitza amateris as on Shabbos. That's called making even an oil arai. Says the Mordechai, what about putting up a mechitza on Shabbos between men and women? He says that mechitza is not considered mechitza amateris. He says the purpose of that mechitza is just for tznius, to separate the men and the women. Something that's only put up for tznius, to separate the men from the women, is not considered a mechitza amateris, and even Tosfos would agree that may be put up on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hosam, the Mishnah will teach us later in our Masechta, Evan Shal Pi Achavos, you have a situation where you have a number of barrels of wine, and you have a stone on top of one of those barrels, and you want to get the wine out of that barrel, and you have the stone on top of it, which, as we spoke a moment ago when we learned the Mishnah, is muksa. What should you do? Mata atzida, take this barrel, tilt it, v'hinei fellas, and the stone will fall, and like that you could get to the wine. What continues the Mishnah there in Daf Kufman Beis to teach us? If this barrel is amongst other barrels, and if you're going to tilt it, it's just going to break, perhaps, the other barrels. What you're allowed to do is pick up the entire barrel with the stone that's on top of it and move it to a place where there is no concern that if you're going to tilt the stone off, it'll damage something else. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Ami, Amar Rav Yochanan, Loi Shanu, the Mishnah that says that you could pick up the barrel with the stone on it is El B'Shecheyach. You left the stone on the barrel from Erev Shabbos unintentionally. So therefore, the barrel doesn't become a basis l'davar asur. Avol b'miniach, if you left it there intentionally, so by leaving it there intentionally, it becomes a basis l'davar asur. And therefore, it becomes muksa, because as we learned earlier, basis l'davar asur is one of the types of muksa. So the Baal HaMor says that it's only going to be considered a basis if you need a place for your stone, and this is the place where Erev Shabbos you decided to leave this stone. But he says, if the stone is being used as a lid for the basket, for the barrel, so then it becomes part of the barrel, and therefore it won't be muksa even if it was left there intentionally. The Ramban disagrees. And the Ramban says that under all circumstances, if you left the stone there intentionally, and as we'll discuss, and it doesn't become part of the barrel, we have a problem of basis l'davar asur. Rabbi Yosi Amar, Rav Asi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lo yishanu abishecheyach. Only in a situation where you left it there in Erev Shabbos, and you didn't mean it that should become part of the keli. Avo b'mniach. He says if you put it there, nasis kisi l'chavis, then it becomes part of the covering of the chavis. And becomes part of the chavis, so then, just like you're allowed to move the chavis, you can move it with its cover. Amar Rabba, masvinan ashmatzin. But Rabba says, you can ask on what I said from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, heaven should be kruya if you have a stone in this pail, imim malamba. If you could use the pail, and the stone will remain there, memalimba, you could use it in Shabbos. So we see that if you made the stone part of your barrel, you could use it on Shabbos. So here too, why, if you put the stone on top of the barrel and became part of your barrel, may you not move it? V'lohi. But says Rabbi, the comparison is not good. Hasam, in our Mishnah, Kivin the Hatka, where you tied the stone to the pail, so shav yadoifin, it becomes part of the pail. When it becomes part of the pail, it's obviously not muksa. But when you just place it, the stone on top of the chavis, it doesn't become part of the chavis. If it doesn't become part of the chavis, then it remains independent, and you may have a muksa issue, or besus l'davar also. Amar Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef says, u'misvina shmatin. And the way I interpret this is a question, imlav, our Mishnah says that if the stone is not tied to the pail, ema malimbo, you can't use it on Shabbos because it's a basis l'davar asur. So we see from here that a stone doesn't become part of something just by placing it there. I, however, said that by the barrel, just placing intentionally the stone on top of the barrel, it becomes part of the cover of the barrel. And again, he says, v'loihi, it's not a good comparison. Hasam the kivin the loyhotka betuli batla. Over there, if you don't tie the stone to the pail, so obviously it's not becoming part of the pail. And if it's not becoming part of the pail, you have a problem of basis l'davar asur. Here it could serve as a lid even without tying. And therefore, if you put it there intentionally, says Rabbi Yosef, I consider it a cover of the Kehillim. Ma'asavar, b'maika mifli. So ask the Gemara, what is the machloikis all about? Says the Marmar, Rav Ami holds bina ma'isa. In order to make something into, to make something not muksa, you have to do something to make it not muksa. Mental designation is insignificant. Umar, Rav Asi holds, loy bina ma'isa. And mental designation alone is enough to make it into, that it shouldn't be muksa. Vazal tamayu. And this is really a machlokes that we've had, that they argued previously. The Chiyasa Rav Dimi, Amar Rav Chanina, Pam Hachas Holach Rebbe L'Mokam Echad, Rebbe once came somewhere on Erev Shabbos, U'matzashom Natach Shol Nevodim. And he found a stack of bricks that were used, that were intended to be used for building. V'amal Tamidov, and he told his Tamidim, Tzu V'chishvu, he wanted to give a shear where those stones were, and he wanted that they should be able to sit on those stones, and stones that are miyuchad lebinyan are muksa, presumably muksa machmas chasar and kis. So he said, go intend to use them for sitting on, in order that they should not be muksa, and we should be able to sit on them tomorrow. Obviously, it's not just the sitting, because sitting on muksa is permitted. And what he meant was that we should be able to move them and arrange them, and they shouldn't have a problem of moving and arranging muksa on Shabbos. V'lo tzrichen Rebbe l'maisa. Rebbe did not require any act. Rebbe Yochanan to make them that they should not be considered muksa. Rebbe Yochanan Amar tzrichen Rebbe l'maisa. He needed a maisa. So ask the Rajba if machshava, according to Rebbe, is sufficient. Why did he tell them to go out? They could have had that machshava wherever they were. So the Rajba says that in order for the machshava to have any value, it has to be a machshava that I see is a real machshava. So if they go out and look at the stones and they see that the stones are usable, so that's a proof that they that machshava is a real machshava. But if they didn't even look at them, who knows if those stones are usable to sit on? And therefore, since we're not sure that they're usable to sit on, then even Rebbe would agree that a machshava alone is insufficient. My Amalhem, according to Rabbi Yochanan, what did Rebbe say? Rav Ami Amitziv Lumdam Amalhem, he told them, go arrange them. Ravasi Omar Tzuva Shafshim Amalahem. He told them to actually clean them from any dirt. So even though we have a machloikis, Rav Ami Rav Asi, we have this machloikis Rav Ami Rav Asi regarding an Evan, here too we'll have the same machloikis. So of course, Tosfos asked the obvious question that by stone, we learned that according to Rav Asi, you just have to put the stone down. And there, Rav Asi said, tsei v'limdum, you have to go do something. If Rav Ami's opinion is that machshav is alone, why didn't he say that here? So, Tosfos answers that when the Gemara says v'azdul tamayu, it's not a perfect comparison. Why does it mean not a perfect comparison? All it means, says Tosfos, is that Rav Ami always needs less of a maisa than Rav Asi. But it's not that Rav Ami holds that you don't have to have a maisa. But in our Gemara, the opinions will hold that Rav Yochanan will hold that a machshava alone is enough. The Baal Mor has a different explanation. He says putting the stone down on the lid of the barrel is also considered some sort of a maisa. And therefore, since it's considered a maisa, it'll be consistent with Rav Asi's opinion. Itmar, Rabbi Yosef ben Sholomer, Savah shel Kairosava. He says it was a stack of beams that Rabbi wanted the Talmidim to use it. Rabbi Yosef ben Sholomer, Gosh shel Sfina Haya. They used to have a pole that they had at the front of the boats to measure if the water isn't too shallow and they could continue traveling. Says the Gemara. Mandam Kashish, if the Mandam says that this pole, which was expensive, just by having this machshava will make that it's not muksa, Koshkein Savar will become, will not be muksa with machshava alone. However, a Mandam swore that it was the pole, it was the beams. Beams aren't that expensive. Avagoshish, kibralai, people are concerned about a goshish, and therefore it doesn't become, it maybe doesn't just lose its muksu status that quickly. We learned in the Mishnah Zemayri Shikshura, a vine that's tied to a pitcher, we could draw water with it on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, kshura in, only if it's tied, lo kshura lai, but if it's not tied, we can't use it. Lema says the loker of Shimon Gamliel. The Tanya, Chroyus Shadeka Shigodim Leitzim, you have branches of a date palm that one wants to use for firewood, and therefore the muksa. Nimlachalei Mishiva, and you decided that you want to sit on them on Shabbos and move them to be able to sit on them. Tzarech Likshur. The Tanakam says that you have to actually do something to make it lose the muksa status. They have to be tied into bundles. Rav Shimon Gamliel, I mean, Tzarech Likshur, the machshava alone is enough. So here it seems that our mission is not consistent with Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says machshava alone is enough. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Sheish, Safil Tem Rav Shimon Gamliel, Hochem Ma'iskinen, what is the case of our Mishnah of Mecheres B'Yeviya, when it's still attached to the grapevine? Since it's attached to the grapevine, so something that's part of the grapevine should be considered muksa, to make, for me to consider that it should be muksa, even Rav Shimon Gamliel will agree that it has to be tied. But ask the Gemara, if it's attached to the grapevine, there's another problem. And we know that anything that's mechubel karka is muksa. Answers the Gemara, lamata mishloisha. When is there a halacha that you're not allowed to use something which is mechubel karka? When it's above 3 tefachim from the ground. But something which is within 3 tefachim of the ground is not considered mechubel karka. Vashi Amar, here is a special reason. A field time, it's detached. And yes, normally Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion is that something that's detached, just machshava alone, could make it lose its mutsa standard status. However, here is a gzeira of Shemi Yikdain. Chazal are concerned that if you're going to find the vine on Shabbos and it's not going to be the right size, he may cut it. And by cutting it, he may be over makabe patish, he may be over machatech, and because of that, Chazal said that you have to have it prepared before Shabbos in order to prevent any of those problems. There's an interesting question. Here we're learning about something that's mechubel karka, that anything that's mechubel karka becomes muksa. The question is, what about if something is attached to a plug? Is that considered muksa because it's mechubel karka? And the Shalz Achuvas Chalkus Yaakov in Oru Chaim Sim Kuf Yudalit, so it says that maybe if it's attached to the karka, which is below, which is really to the ground, it's not going to be muksa because of that reason, but he wants to say that anything attached to a plug automatically becomes muksa on Shabbos.